This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. Verily all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and the evil consequences of our evil actions. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide, and whoever is led astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah. He is alone and has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and messenger. The most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are the newly invented matters in the religion, and every newly invented matter in religion is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah leads astray, and everything astray is in the hellfire. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear sisters, and welcome to our session and our lesson brought to you by Essence of Life in Wollongong, or also known as Masjid As-Salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward the sisters who helped to organize and put together this online event for sisters to benefit from. And they've kindly opened it up to sisters from all around Australia, all around the world as well, for anyone to benefit from. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and bless your beautiful Islamic center. So we've got the theme and topic, inshallah, on the topic of keeping steadfast in lockdown or during lockdown. Allahu alam, you know, inshallah, the sisters intended it to be about keeping steadfast in our faith, keeping steadfast in our mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, all these different types of well-being. So we hope that whatever we learn and are reminded of in this session is able to, inshallah, keep us steadfast in those various aspects and to help us to be as strong and as healthy and as vibrant as possible despite our external circumstances. Allahumma ameen. So keeping steadfast in lockdown. The topic probably interested you. You might have seen different topics and talks on this online and through various other speakers and presenters, and everyone has a different take on it. And for me, you know, I had a couple of conversations in the week where we discussed some deeper aspects about, you know, the situations that we're finding ourselves in or that people might be struggling with. So I extracted some points from there and some different ayat of the Quran that came up that I felt would be relevant and beneficial. So first I have a question for you all, and I want to ask, how are you all really? Emphasis on really, really, how are you? And I'm going to give you a little moment to have a think about that. And then for whoever's comfortable, you're welcome to write in the comments box or jump on the mic and share how you are. So I'm going to give you 1 minute to do that while I grab my book. Okay, so have you had a think about it? So write your responses either in the comments, or if you want to jump onto the microphone, you're welcome to do that. Let me know how you are. We're on this topic of steadfastness in lockdown, so we need to assess our situation first in order for us to build upon and address ourselves and grow from this. So how are you? So feel free to write, or you can jump on the mic. One sister says she's struggling with constant negativity in media and being stuck at home, missing the masjid and her dear sisters. That's probably something that others are also feeling, subhanAllah. Anyone else?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister.
My struggle is my illness.
Yep.
Alhamdulillah. But trying to keep steadfast in my deen.
Yep.
But really big struggle. Just came out of the hospital last night after being there for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you shifa, dear sister. And I'm sure everyone who's listening right now is also making dua for you for good health and a miraculous recovery. And inshallah, a return to your well-being, inshallah. It's a big, big test to be tested with your health. Another sister says she's starting to feel stressed. Do I vaccinate or not? Yep, as we can see, for those living in different parts of the world, different parts of Australia, or for those in the eastern parts of Australia, there are some testing times now with the extremity of the lockdown and making a decision as to what action to take in the situation that we're finding ourselves in. So definitely something that many are facing. Another sister says, trying to stay as positive as I can. Please give us tips when we start feeling low about what's going on and how to get out of that state. Very good point. That's inshallah something that we're going to cover today. And you just reminded me of something in asking that as well. Jazakallah khair. Anyone else? Let's have a look. Sisters are saying ameen. Anyone else want to jump on the mic? Let us know. How are you really? Yep, another sister said she's uncertain about the future and the decision I may have to make. Yep. I think people are becoming aware of having to take stances on certain things and come to some really tricky decisions according to the times that we're in. I think that's a big source of concern for many. All right. Anyone else? Sister says, feeling very disconnected from family, from friends, family, and our masjid. Also mindset, feeling an overwhelming sense of worry of the unknown. Yep. And the potential sacrifices that go with that. Yep. About the decisions, sacrifices with decisions, sacrifices with being maybe pressured in certain circumstances to do things you normally wouldn't have considered doing. Another sister says, struggling with all our family living overseas, have gotten used to seeing them so often, it's been tough not knowing when we'll next see them. Another big test. Again, unknowns, all these open-ended questions, all these, I wonder if, what will happen, when will this be? So that is no doubt very testing. All right. So in Arabic, to ask someone, how are you? In Arabic, many of you might know or be familiar, it's kayfa halik. Yeah, kayfa halik. Okay, that's how they say, how are you? But what's beautiful about kayfa halik is it's actually roughly translated as, how is the state of your heart in this breath? Like, how is your state? It's not so much how are you, it's how is your state? Like, how are you deeply right now? What is your state? The state of your heart right now in this very breath, in this moment, you know. And when people ask us, how are you, generally we answer, yeah, alhamdulillah, I'm good. You say alhamdulillah because you are grateful, you know, for whatever your situation is. And you say good because you look at it generally, I'm grateful, it's good. But when we look at the actual feeling within us in that moment, how is your state of heart in this moment, in this breath? If people were to ask us that way, if we understood what kayfa halik means, we would really kind of pause in the moment and go, how is my heart in this moment? That's what I wanted you guys to just share. What's in your heart in this moment? And it might be fear, it might be anxiety, it might be apprehension, it might be worry. And no doubt we're all resonating with each other for various different reasons, feeling similar things within our hearts right now due to life and the tests of life and the struggles of life. So I'm actually reading this part about Kefa Halik from a book. It's called This One Wild and Precious Life by Sarah Wilson. So it's obviously, it's a general mainstream non-Muslim written book, but it has some different concepts according to the times that we're living in. Some you might agree, some you might disagree. But I thought this was a nice point where it talks about Kefa Halik. It's different to saying, how are you, to someone. Generally, people will answer, not bad. But if we were to actually ask each other, how is your state of heart right now, in this moment, in this breath, how is your heart, my sister? It's a whole different way of being received, subhanAllah. So for us to be a little bit more, I guess, deeply engaged in asking, how are people's hearts? Are they aching for more love? Are they needing some reassurance? Are they feeling very fearful? Are they needing comfort, words of comfort? Are they needing inspiration? Are they carrying a lot of burdens and load in, you know, in their hearts that they need to get out? And again, this is something that you might realize within yourself. I'm carrying way too much and not having outlets for what I'm carrying in my heart. And that might mean you need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. It might mean you need to have some deep, meaningful conversations with trusted people or loved ones or friends. Or it might mean that you need to find someone external to that to talk to and share what is burdening your mortal soul. That's for us to just start with checking in on our state. And we do need to ask ourselves this throughout the day and sometimes numerous times throughout the day. How is my heart? And to notice other people, notice your children, notice your spouse. How is your heart? And check in with them and be genuine and sincere, intending to what it is that's going on with their heart. Be of service and offer something. All right, let's push forward, inshallah. So what is our community struggling with right now? You shared what you were struggling with right now, your state of heart. Can I ask you guys, what do you think our community as a whole is struggling with when we looked at choosing this topic, keeping steadfast during lockdown? Where is the need for this keeping of steadfastness coming from? What is it that is shaking our community right now? Just put your answers in the comments, inshallah, and I'll read some out. So I'm asking you guys to get you thinking, number one, and reflecting, and also to extract some information from you guys. You guys might know more than me about what the community is struggling with, aside from the little pointers that I'm going to share today in this session. So what is our community struggling with in terms of lockdowns or in terms of just general struggle, spiritual struggle, emotional, familial, whatever it might be? One sister said depression. Interesting. We're getting distracted by the news and pandemic and not focusing much on our Islam. Awesome. Anyone else? So depression, distraction. Any other suggestions? Sister says no one seems to be communicating with anyone. So feel free to expand on that, sister. Let us know. What do you mean no one seems to be communicating with anyone? How do you define communication? Now the sister says overthinking. Yep, that's a good point. And we're going to talk about these different struggles and the impact of these struggles on our state. What it does to our state, the agitation that it causes to our state, and then ultimately the taking away from our spiritual focus and grounding and struggle that these types of taking away result in for us. Sister says they struggle with faith in government, faith in our deen, faith in each other. Half don't believe COVID is real, half don't want to accept and abide by rules, thus affecting the wider community. Interesting. keeping more Islamic talks happening would be better for iman boosts for the community. True. I'm not sure how active, you know, the different mosques and centers are. Are they still doing their Tuesday night lectures, but doing them online? I don't know. I haven't heard of much apart from a few really proactive sisters. I haven't heard of many specific ongoing classes continuing online. Sisters, just make sure your camera's off because we are recording. I don't want anyone to get caught out if they didn't want to be recorded. All right. Jazakallah khair. Thank you, guys. So keep any comments or questions coming in throughout this talk. I will go back to them and address them as we continue, inshallah. So as you guys mentioned, things like depression, distraction, non-communication, overthinking, you know, we're getting a lot of input sources. We're not getting enough talks or enough lessons sometimes. Yep, Australian Islamic House, I've seen theirs actually, mashallah. There's more division within the community because of differences of opinions that are even separate to religion. Very good point, sister. So people are turning on each other. It's not even religious based. It's just, convictions on certain decisions and life choices that people are differing in, that then they're allowing to become a difference between them and their Muslim brother or sister. Alhamdulillah, that's good. There are things online, good to know. And yeah, definitely good for people to keep connected with each other so you can find out what there is happening online. I'm sure there are things online. So our community is struggling with a lot of things. A big part that I wanted to start off with that is causing the struggles, particularly in our faith or in our iman, or that is a source of mental, spiritual, emotional, psychological agitation, is information overload. Okay. Never before have we human beings been bombarded with so many sources of information and so many different types of unverified information and so many irrelevant sources of information. Never before have our ears and our eyes been bombarded with so much going on. Life used to be a different pace. Life used to be about totally immersing oneself in the moment. And there was no call to another world or another time or another place. You know, back when our parents or grandparents were younger, when it was time to eat, there was nothing else happening except it was time to eat and connecting live with the people around you. When it was time to drive, or if they had cars, then it was time to just commute and transport themselves from one place to another. There was no distraction in that process, no messaging and no other conversations happening and no watching and listening of different things in that process to detract from being there in that time. When it was time to learn, whether it was a class or reading a book or reading the newspaper, that's what that moment was dedicated to, half an hour, 10 minutes, an hour, dedicated to, I'm going to read this book right now, or I'm going to read the newspaper right now, or I'm going to be in class right now. Now we have ourselves spread so thin that we're doing 3, 4, 5 things at one time, right? Even now, if I look in front of me, I've got my notes in front of me. I have a slide in front of me. I have to keep an eye on the camera in front of me. I have a book in front of me, and I have my phone in front of me, which I just remembered to put on silent so it doesn't beep. SubhanAllah. Look at these different inputs that our brain is trying to focus and manage all at once. That's just as a presenter. So there you go, guys. You guys have a little bit of a behind the scenes look at how much is happening when you're just an online teacher, how much your brain has to try to stay focused on what you're trying to say and process thoughts on top of the notes in front of you and all of that. So you're right, it's crazy. But we are living like this moment to moment for most of our waking hours of the day, okay? From morning till we sleep, we have different apps open and we have different moving images and videos, and we watch one video on one topic and we switch and flick before we've even finished a story or finished reading a paragraph, and we go to the next one, which could be totally different, which could could have been listening to Quran recitation and we softened ourselves, we didn't even complete the recitation, which is wrong to do as well, and we cut off it and skipped to something where someone else was doing a weird whatever dance video, and then we had a laugh. We shifted states so fast. We shifted focus and attention so fast. And our brain is doing that throughout the day on top of managing children, houses, chores, phone calls, bills, reading something, studying something, cleaning up something, all at the same time. Okay, and we see those funny memes where the mothers, you know, the kids have, oh, she says, oh, the kids have gone to bed. And then in her brain, there's like 50 things that start coming up. Oh, do the laundry and all those types of things. Okay, we can't have a still or quiet moment. So what is information overload? Information overload is usually characterized by an overabundance of information, and it's a major concern, cause of concern for general information users, researchers, and information managers. With the advent of new technological innovations, the rate of information production has accelerated rapidly. Consequently, people are suffering from an information glut, which makes it difficult for them to find the required information quickly and conveniently from various print, electronic, and online sources. Okay, so people now, we struggle because there's so many different inputs. You'll be having a conversation with someone and you'll be like, oh, I heard this thing the other day. And you remember the gist of what you heard that you now want to relay to that person that is relevant, but your brain will struggle to remember where you got it from, whose page, which social media platform, was it an article, a photo, or a video? Was it a book or something physical that you read? Was it off your laptop? Was it something someone else said to you? Was it on WhatsApp? Was it a WhatsApp video? Was it a WhatsApp message? Our brain can't even retain the amount of information coming in, let alone the source of each of those points of information. So we're getting this super diluted knowledge and information input into our lives daily. Hey, you look at the picture on the slide now, that's what our brains feel like. You know, there's words hidden in there too, right? I can see tired and, you know, there's all sorts of things, but that's our brains. It's just this big jumbled mess. How does our spirituality come forward and rise in all of that noise and all of that mess? As Muslims, our spiritual connection, our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with ourselves, because we have to know and be connected to ourselves to connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can only happen when we have stillness and quiet, which is why when the Quran is recited or played, we have to be still and not do anything else and just listen. And when we pray and we do takbiratul ihram, the word ihram, we enter into our prayer, everything becomes forbidden that we normally are allowed to do. You're in prayer, no talking, no reading, no watching, no laughing, no looking around, no anything, right? Because it's time to focus. Alhamdulillah, we have Islamic traditions which teach us to slow down and to focus and to do one thing at a time and have one source of input at a time. Even in communication, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was reminded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to frown and turn away from the person or the believer who needed him and instead give attention to the, you know, non-believers he was giving da'wah to. Likewise, in our conversations, are we going from conversation to conversation, flicking between chatting, you know, on our phones, and then our child is asking us something and trying to tell us something? And I'll be the first to say I'm guilty of that. I can't focus on both. I'm in the middle of finishing writing an email or a message, and my child wants to talk to me, and they're going, "Mom," and they have to say it again because my brain can't be in those two places at once. You know, so we have to have this clear separation. What state does this information overload put us in? Well, you know, the state and the results are similar to what you guys said. You know, we're distracted. We aren't having true communication with each other and true connection with each other because it's fleeting. It can affect moods, depression, and anxiety. And research is showing very clearly that increased use of our electronic devices and social media directly correlates with lower moods, okay? Directly correlates with lower levels of mental health, worse off levels of mental health, so on and so forth. And even the information overload, we're learning too much. We don't know how to sort it and what to do with it and what's true from what's not true. And we all start debating and arguing with each other. And then ultimately, another struggle that you guys shared, it causes division. The information overload causes division and confusion, right? We end up confused. We don't know what to believe. We don't know what's true and false. We don't know who's right or wrong. Yet we are debating in that unknown. So again, information overload can result in lack of conviction in what we do feel, we believe in. So information overload is a major cause of us losing out on our spiritual development and growth, because the information overload results in distraction from what is truly important and what are priorities for us as a Muslim, right? And it results in disconnect from ourselves, from our important relationships and commitments, and from ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, it wastes a lot of time. So we really have to think about, where is all this information coming from? And earlier this year, I realized I had too many WhatsApp groups. I left a bunch of those. I just didn't have time to read them. So why was I staying in them? And the notifications were bothering me all throughout the day, even though I put my phone on silent and the notifications are on silent, just seeing visually that I had so many notifications. Again, it's a distraction, and I had to filter that information overload out. Too many people in my newsfeed, too many people messaging me. What do I do? We have to have times where we're offline. We have to have times where we're not contactable at any time, you know, and answering at any time. We have to have windows of time. I don't answer, you know, inquiries at this time or messages at this time. And they know that when I get up, I have, 30 minutes in the morning that I'll get back to them. It's your time. It's your mind. It's your garden. Your mind and your heart and your soul is your garden. And you can't allow anyone and everyone to park their car there, pour out their rubbish there, put their dishwater and whatnot all in your garden. Your mind, your time, your life is your garden, and you have to tend to it, pull out weeds, protect it, put gates around it, not allow anyone to just come in and stomp all over it. And all these sources of information and stimulation, they are ways and means in which your garden, yourself, your state, your soul can be damaged and can be stomped on and littered on, okay, and impacted. So this overstimulation, on top of all these other things that are happening around us in the world, things that are largely beyond our control, a lot of them result in anxiety, okay? Globally, an estimated 284 million people experience an anxiety disorder in 2017. So it was the most prevalent mental health or neurodevelopmental disorder. Okay, 63% were female and the other percent were males. Okay, so more females were more anxious than males. And in all countries, women are more likely to experience anxiety disorders than men. Okay, so that's interesting. You've got this graph here, which just shows the world versus the US. As you can see, mashallah, the US seems to be setting the standard for anxiety, mood, impulse control disorders, and somewhat substance disorders. So interesting comparison there when we compare it globally. Like, we have to think as well, where is this influence coming from? And remembering that the sources of information overload, as i.e. our phones and social media, also directly correlate with these mood disorders, anxiety disorders. And I think over time, eventually, digital devices, social media will join gaming as a type of diagnosed addiction disorder. Okay. And it is a substance. I think it's a substance, right? It's or something you expose yourself to, and then you get a neurological reaction, secretions in your brain from your use of that device, or from seeing how many likes you have, or from watching something and getting an email, or from hearing a notification. These chemicals that are released in your brain to make you feel a certain way and make you want to go back for more. Okay. And we have to realize that it's a type of addiction that can come into place, and that the addiction and the feeling of wanting to indulge in your addiction can also give rise to that feeling of anxiety. Okay, you feel anxious because you need another hit of what? Of seeing your, checking your email, checking your messages, checking your WhatsApp, checking your Instagram, whatever it might be. Okay, may Allah protect us. So when we look at anxiety, an interesting thing that I came across also in this book, when we look at anxiety, a clinic, which is a residential clinic for anxious teens. This is regarding young people, but I think we need to reflect on it for ourselves as well as adults. It's a residential clinic for teens who have anxiety issues. They define anxiety as the overestimation of danger and the underestimation of the ability to cope. So when we say now, like these stats I just showed you, oh my gosh, we've got this huge epidemic of anxiety, and we think, oh, it's a new, you know, or it's a rising or increasing mental disorder, which is creeping into, and it's increasing amongst the population, as if it's like a growth, a cancerous growth, which is expanding and growing. But the point that I really thought was good in this book is that there is a lot of overdiagnosis about anxiety. And rather than seeing it as an increase in actual anxiety, that anxiety is something which is growing, anxiety is a byproduct, and the increase of anxiety is a byproduct. And think about this within yourself. Are you more anxious now than you've ever been? Are you more anxious, or people around you more anxious than what you've noticed in the past? It's actually directly tied to, and we really have to think about this, it's tied to a reduction in our levels and skill sets of resilience. So we're not more anxious purely because we are more anxious. We've become more anxious as a byproduct of being less resilient. We are less resilient than we ever have been, potentially, as human beings. Why are we less resilient? Resilience requires certain skill sets and tools. A resilient person is built into their resilience through certain ways of thinking, living, behaving, speaking, reacting, so on and so forth, and what's in their environment. We have lost the ability to become, or we've lost the awareness of how to become more resilient. And because of that, because we're less resilient and we're more afraid and we're more anxious and we're more all of this, you know, all of these different negative states, our levels of anxiety are rising. Okay, and when we're in an anxious state, we have no answers, it's easy to fall into depression because we feel like there is no hope, there is no light. And for us as Muslims, our hope, our light, our combatants against anxiety and depression and other types of spiritual and psychological and emotional disorders and illnesses, we can find answers and cures and remedies in our spiritual growth and our spiritual learning. And whilst we know it's been very popular and very trending, you know, where people get annoyed when someone simply says your mental health issues are because you have low iman. You know, like obviously that's a blanket statement. It's not the way to say it and all the way to put it. And, you know, people get upset because it disqualifies the acknowledgement of mental illness. Which we see that there are some mental illnesses which have been clearly defined. There are different ones being diagnosed and created every day, but we do have to ask ourselves, are mental illnesses becoming more prevalent and overtaking our minds and our psyches because we don't have anywhere else to fall or anywhere else to tap into? We have to acknowledge that there is truth and reality about in the fact that we can utilize healthy spirituality and spiritual learning and spiritual nurturing and worship of Allah and connection with Allah to remedy the things that bother us in our hearts and in our minds. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given anything except as a cure. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah do the hearts find rest. Where do we feel anxiety? We feel it here in our chest, right? This scared, apprehension, fear, worry. Okay, and I'm not a clinical psychologist, I'm not a psychotherapist, any of that. I'm not proclaiming to be any of it. I'm just giving you guys some food for thought to think about how you feel and for you to question why you feel how you feel, where it's coming from, and what you can do to equip yourselves to cope better. Okay, so thinking about resilience, you know, I was talking to a sister online this morning and we were discussing, you know, and I explained to her that like we need to have this treasure chest of resilience tools to tap into when we go through difficult times. And I know some days are like roller coasters. Some days I feel overwhelmed. Some days I feel worried, fearful, whatever it might be. I'm human being too, right? I'm not free from any of that. But when I do feel a certain way, I acknowledge it, I sense it, see where it's coming from. And then I think to myself, how and why am I going to get through this? And I look into my box of resilience tools and I go, this is why, and that is why, and this is why, and that is why. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I got this. It's going to be okay. Okay. And we're going to talk about some of those tools, inshallah. I'm going to look through the comments because I saw some coming in. Give me like a thumbs up or a letter Y for yes to let me know or you guys understand. Am I making sense? I don't want to be not making sense and you guys are like, we're lost. You're just blubbering. Just let me know, inshallah. I'm just going to read these. Lack of routine and structure with this procrastination. Yep. I'm going to write them down. Okay. Yep. So the sister who was on camera, I'm pretty sure you won't record what was on camera then, but I will double check and I won't publish it unless I check and make sure that you're not on camera, inshallah. Makes us more distractible and increases physical and mental fatigue. Yeah, poor sleep quality. The name of the book is This One Wild and Precious Life, okay, by Sarah Wilson. It's nice. It's a light read and it's sharing her reflections. And she went, she would hike a lot and reflect a lot, but it's interesting. It's got some good points. I'm only halfway through it now, but it's got some interesting points and reflections on life and the state of the world that we're in now. So someone says she feels more anxious because of all the things I have to worry about. Parents, kids schooling online, my special needs daughter and her routine, all gone, vaccination, etc. Yeah, I agree. We're all struggling that way. Okay, so we've got thumbs up. Everyone's still alive and kicking and tuned in, alhamdulillah. All right, so let's move on to our next topic. So hopefully you guys just understand anxiety, how prevalent it is, where it's coming from. Okay, an important part, feelings always come from the way that you're thinking. Anything you feel in any given moment, it will come from a thought. So if you can check in with your thoughts and what's going on with your thoughts and why you're having those thoughts and what those thoughts mean, then you can address the thoughts and then the thoughts will then, inshallah, positively or negatively impact your feeling. Okay, so this is something that most of us don't learn or we don't understand the reality of it or the enormity of it. That if you can keep your thinking in check, yeah, and you can have good ways of thinking. This is why I explained the resilience, you know, toolkit or treasure chest. If you can try to tap into ways to shift your thinking when you do go to a bad place of thinking, whether it is memories of the past or fears of the future, which is often what cause our horrible states, then inshallah, if you can address your thinking, you can catch it, call it out, and adjust it accordingly. You know, so when you're feeling really, really anxious and you're like, why am I feeling so anxious? It's because I'm scared about whether to vaccinate or not, or I'm feeling overwhelmed because our routine and I'm really like, I need routine. And then you say, you know what? Do I need to think like that about something I can't change? Can I find a place of acceptance? And then you start to kind of settle yourself and agree, yeah, I can accept, I can be patient, I can do this, and you feel better. Your anxiety reduces. You feel like you can cope again. Okay. So largely when we look at our state, what's going on here, we have to check in with what our mind is doing to us to create that state. And our mind plays games with us. And our mind magnifies things that shouldn't be magnified. Our mind focuses on things that aren't entire truths and then blocks out other parts of what is reality and truth around it. Things are not always doom and gloom as much as our mind wants to tell us that it is. The future, yes, we might be fearful because there's so many unknowns, but you know what? It's already been written. We know as Muslims, Allah has decreed what will happen, what could have happened, what should have happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees all of it. And he did that from 50,000 years ago, subhanAllah. Why are we scared about his plan unfolding? There's no reason to be scared. All right, and no reason to be anxious because we can lean into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it. So fear, this is another struggle we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah says, and we will surely test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and fruits, but give good tidings to the patient. Allah says he's promising, and we will surely, Allah saying, oh, surely I'm going to test you, going to test your faith, test your heart, test your resilience, test your mind, test your emotions, test you and your family with fear. We're scared, right? We're scared about what might happen. He's going to test us with hunger. We don't have money. We might be running low because we can't have our jobs or work or struggle. Loss of wealth and lives and fruits. Then Allah says, give good tidings to the patient. A lot of the times when we feel fear, and if you check in with your heart right now and you're scared about something, almost always fear has to do with the future, the possible future, all right? We're not scared of the past because we know what's happened. Usually past is memories, trauma, stories we create from the past, and that's what bothers us in our minds. But fear comes from a false, or usually an illusionary or false projection or prediction of the future. We're scared because we're thinking the worst, right? We're thinking doom and gloom. We're thinking that things will not be okay. We're thinking the worst of the worst, right? And then we get scared now because of this unknown future, which we haven't met yet. We need to ask ourselves again, you're checking your thoughts, you're challenging your thoughts. I'm scared of an unknown future. I'm predicting the worst possible outcome, and I'm getting upset, stressed, angry, whatever it might be about it now because of this thing I'm painting in my mind in the future, and I'm ruining my now because of this false prediction, potentially false prediction of the future. Maybe it's not false. Maybe you're right. Maybe that will be what will happen tomorrow or next week. But what use or benefit does it give you to create and induce that state of fear now? None, right? What trust do you have in Allah if you're fearing what will happen in the future? Where's your trust in Allah's plan? Where's your surety and reliance that I trust Allah will take care of it if you're being scared here and now about what will happen tomorrow, next week, 10 years, 5 years for your children? Yes, we feel fear in terms of we want to be prepared for any negative outcomes in the future. And we use some of that fear, a healthy amount of fear, to drive us to be motivated to prepare for that potential future, or prepare our children, or prepare the world, or educate others or whatnot. We should use these emotions as driving factors and not let them overtake us and then incapacitate us. If you feel fearful about the potential future and what it might be and what it might mean for you and your family, then you need, you know, obviously you'd be a fool to just sit in that fear and cry and be angry and rant and rave online and whatnot, right? That fear should be making you feel like, okay, I'm scared about what's coming. What do I need to do? I need to educate myself about the choices, about the options. We need to look at what can we do instead? We need to think about alternatives. I need to raise my kids well so they're prepared for what the world's going to look like. You become proactive. If your fear isn't making you proactive, then it's useless, non-beneficial fear, and it's dangerous and detrimental to your iman. Okay, it's bad for your faith, too much fear, because it shows there's lack of reliance on Allah. And it shows there's a lack of tying your camel and making your efforts as well. You're just allowing it to paralyze you. What good is being fearful of this potential negative future that you're predicting when it hasn't come yet, might not ever happen, it's written anyway, and it's not resulting in you doing anything, and it's actually making your faith weaker now, where you're so scared that you, it's making you so depressed. Your fear is making you depressed, and your depression is making you not pray. How is that living a life purposefully? Okay. Muslims, as believers, we don't forfeit from the battle. We are in the battlefield every single day, whether we like it or not, if we are proclaiming La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. If you say you are a Muslim, Allah tells us here, you will surely be tested. So we wake up every day and we look around us and we decode life and we say, what is my test today? Who is my test today? What is my responsibility that I have to fulfill today as part of that test? What am I not doing or not changing or not learning or not improving in that I need to do in order to pass this test. And that is every day. And some days you slack off with that test. Some days you lose sight of the test. Some days you neglect that test. But overall, you have to have in your mind, my life is a test. This is the testing ground. Whatever comes, I have to face it head on. I will not run from this. I will not hide from this. I will push forward. I will do what needs to be done, even when it's hard to do. Okay, this is the resilience, the heart of the believer. And we get this from so many different prophetic examples and the examples of the Sahaba and the different righteous people of the past. Okay. So fear. How do we process fear? We process it through the stories. Okay. Whether you realize it or not, what you're seeing unfold around you are stories. What you're receiving in your little WhatsApp messages and your friends and in your social media world, you're getting these little stories that this is the way the world is, and this is what the world means, and this is what truth is, and this is what falsehood is. And sometimes if you're open to different sources of information, you get conflicting stories, and you're trying to decide what is the story for me and my family, between me and my family and Allah and our journey to Allah. How do I decide what is the story we want to ascribe to and what we want to believe as our life path and our life journey? Because now, obviously, as you guys mentioned, there's a lot of conflict and different views because everyone has a different story about what they believe and why they believe it and why they are continuing with that process moving forward. We have separate realities, and what people don't realize is that that's okay. We can agree to disagree. The issue that comes up is when one perspective wants to enforce their perspective on another forcefully, okay? And we know that, you know, our Islamic tradition teaches us that that's not allowed. La ikraha fid din. There's no compulsion in religion. If there was going to be compulsion in anything, should it not be in religion? Should be in religion, right? God and his rights come first. But if there's no compulsion in religion, truth stands out from falsehood. People have the right to choose with their own free will whether they will believe in Allah or not. Then likewise, should people not have the free will to decide what they believe in worldly terms, about whether they, you know, will follow certain guidelines and mandates or not, or whether they will vaccinate or not, whatever it might be, whether they will breastfeed or not, or bottle feed, whether they will send their kids to Muslim school or private school or Catholic school or homeschool, whatever it will be. Do people not have the right to choose? They have the right to choose, and there can be criticisms on each side. Yes, we can criticize each other with basis and reason, with respect as well. But we don't have to agree. We don't all have to ascribe to the same perspective on things, so long as we do not harm each other through those choices. And I guess that's where, again, the conflict is. You know, different parties think that through each other's decision, they're going to potentially harm each other. We have to find the middle ground somewhere, subhanAllah. Otherwise, we're going to be living in apartheid if for every different topic, you know. May Allah help us. So we process life and we process our journey towards finding the truth through different stories. And your worldview, your story about what this world is, whether it's a beautiful place of hope and of potential, or it's a dark, ugly place, that depends on the story that you play in your mind and the stories you have allowed in to your perspective of the world. The prophets in the Quran are some of the most amazing stories that we can learn and take from. Stories of inspiration, stories of hardship. You think they didn't have fears and anxieties? We know from the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had times of intense fear and anxiety. He had stages where he thought he was losing his mind waiting for the next revelation. Yeah, he went through such deep, deep grief and loss when he lost Khadija and he lost his uncle, Khadija radiallahu anha. He lost his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. He lost his uncle Abu Talib. So who are we to not think that we will not experience? It's normal, it's natural, it's human to experience these emotions and these emotional experiences and states of life, but it's about what we do with it, how we process it, and where we channel it. Okay. Fear can be something which paralyzes us or mobilizes us. Okay. I should write that down. Paralyze or mobilize all of your emotions, your anxieties, paralyze or mobilize, depending on how you process it. So you need a processing system, inshallah, which I'll show you shortly what I feel I learned and what I utilize as a processing system, or you guys can even have it as a resilience treasure chest. What do I tap into to remind myself about what to do with this feeling of fear and anxiety? Okay, so we have a lot of inspiration where we can learn how to deal with fear and anxieties and different scenarios in life. So think about the story that you create. Remember that your sources of information overload are contributing to the story that you create about the world you live in, about yourself, about your community, all of your mindsets, whatnot. It's from that information source. If we are spending more time on social media than we are with the Quran and Hadith and Islamic books and with Islamic videos and teachers, then we're in trouble, because who is the narrator of the story we are creating? Largely, it's going to end up being the social media narrative or our friends if we're always chatting to them. This becomes a narrative. This is the imprint. This is the essence, the scent of influence that we will take from and start to create our own interpretations and stories from these different influences. Okay. And I always tell people, because I do it to myself too, I always check how much time I've spent on the different social media platforms. And I when it gets to a certain point, I have little reminders that say, that's it. You spent half an hour, you spent an hour, to remind me that I want to get off and that I should get off, because that's a source of information. Have I spent that long with a book today? Have I spent that long with Quran today? You know, we have to hold ourselves to account for these things, or it will just suck us into it, because you won't even notice time go by. This is what Shaitan wants us to do, waste the majority of our life in the useless. So be aware of the stories that you create and the sources of the narrative in your stories. So here's a recipe to, inshallah, help you. This beautiful verse of the Quran from Surah At-Talaq, verse 2 and 3. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, whoever fears Allah, Allah will make a way for him to get out of every difficulty, and he will provide for him from sources he could never imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah, then he will suffice him. Verily, Allah will accomplish his purpose. Indeed, Allah has set a measure of all things. You have to burn this verse into your mind and imprint it into your heart, and even maybe print it on paper and put it on your wall. You need to remind yourself about this. We just looked at fear and anxiety, right? And we're told, whoever fears Allah, fear Allah first. Be more scared of Allah. Be more conscious of Allah. Be more concerned and worried about Allah and what He has planned for you and us and the world, what He thinks about our state and deems about our state in the dunya and the akhirah. If we put Allah at the forefront, we fear Him, number one. My fear, my anxiety, my concern is with Allah first, before anything of the dunya, before what anyone, anything, any virus, any human, any vaccine, any restriction could do to me. Before any of that, I fear Allah first. If you do that, Allah promises in this verse, He will find a way for him to get out of every difficulty. Allah will provide a way out. If you remember, Allah, I know you've got this. I know you've got me. I trust you with this situation that is in front of me, that is very challenging, very difficult, very overwhelming, very confusing. And you are able to have that conversation with Allah. Allah, I fear you above all else, and I trust my affairs to you. Allah says, He'll find a way out for you. What else will He do? He will provide for you from sources you could never imagine. You know, so for some people, they might lose their jobs, they might lose their wealth, they might lose their government benefits, whatever, through some decisions that they're making, or someone might get sick and then not be able to have, you know, provision for their family the way they hoped because of their health challenges. Allah will provide from you from where you couldn't imagine. Okay, and remember the stories, so many stories. How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the Kaaba from the approaches of Abraha? Birds defeat an army that had elephants and thousands upon thousands of soldiers. SubhanAllah. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam escaping with Abu Bakr, and he went into the cave of Thawr. What did Allah do? Allah provided for him from where he couldn't imagine. A bird put its nest and a spider spun a web to block the cave to ensure that the enemies of the righteous, of the believer, couldn't see where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved companion were hiding. And who was scared in that cave at that time? Abu Bakr. Yeah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reassured him, said, "Don't worry, Allah is with us. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't be anxious. Don't be scared. We don't need to be scared when Allah is with us. But we can't have Allah with us until we with us in our reassurance and in that comfort that He provides our state until we fear Him and have Him at the forefront of our minds. Whoever puts his trust in Allah, Allah will suffice him. If you trust Allah, you have tawakkul in Allah, then Allah will be enough for you. Whatever decision you make, okay, and everyone has different viewpoints on a lot of big issues right now. Either way, whatever decision you make, make it with trust in Allah, make an educated choice, make a sincere, intentional choice, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be enough for you. He'll take care of it. Don't worry. Don't be scared. Make your decision. Be strong. Even if you don't even know how you're going to get past or through the consequences of that decision, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nonetheless. Okay? Allah, and then it says, verily, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Allah has a purpose for everything, every situation, every circumstance, every happening, every condition that we're in, every challenge. He's written it and He allowed it to happen, and He has a purpose beyond what we can see. Even though we're so worried and nervous and angry and distressed, whatever it might be, Allah has a purpose for all. Allah has a set measure for all things. What did you guys come with at the start? You're scared. We don't know how long certain things will go for. We don't know when we'll see our family again. We don't know when this will be over. Allah has a set measure. It's already decreed, my sisters. It's already written. You just have to be patient, a day at a time, a moment at a time. This is nothing of test compared to what the people of the past went through. All right? We go on a flight, you know, a 10, 11-hour flight, and we're at Hajj. They used to have to say goodbye to their families and disappear to go for Hajj. It would take them 6 months of journeying, and their families didn't know if they were going to come back and survive or not. Look at how the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father died, you know, from in traveling in business. Like, you just wouldn't know when someone would not return. We think, and we have such a short span of patience. You know, we get annoyed so quickly. 1 week lockdown, you know, our first 1 week lockdowns, we were all distressed back then. That's nothing now. Some of us have just lost count. We're like, oh, Sydney is like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. We're delirious. You know, Melbourne was like, I couldn't believe Melbourne went through 6 months of lockdown last year. Like, I wasn't counting. I feel bad now. I feel bad for my Melburnians. I wasn't counting how long they were in lockdown for. Again, Allah has a set measure for how things will unfold. Can you cope? Can you be accepting of what is that you is beyond your control? You know, can you find ways through to ensure that you still feel it within your heart, within your being, a sense of freedom and autonomy, a sense of well-being? Can you find that? You can. Don't underestimate your potential for finding a sense of well-being and a sense of reassurance and resilience. It's all there. So remember this recipe, especially from this verse and through all of our Islamic teachings. When you have taqwa of Allah, you're conscious of Allah. He's the one you have fear and awe and love and trust in. And then you couple that with tawakkul, which is just entire leaning on Allah, trusting Him. You got this, Allah. I'm cool. I'm not scared of anything, anyone, whatever's going to happen. I'm going to make the best decisions I can, research as much as I can. And then I trust You, Ya Allah. If you can do those two things, taqwa plus tawakkul, it gives you what? Hope. It gives you unlimited hope. And hope allows for optimism, for inspiration, for motivation. If you wake up and you trust Allah and you're conscious of Him, you know for a fact everything's going to be okay. I just have to fulfill my day-to-day responsibilities between me and my Lord and whoever He has put under my care. I fulfill that. I do the right thing. I stay away from sin. I do as much good deeds and worship as I can. There's all hope. What is this short life anyway? Why are we demanding Jannah in this short life why not now? Why not now? My way. It should be like this. It should be like that. The world should be this. The world should be that. We demand our paradise now in this life, subhanAllah. And we don't have this patience that is required to get through life. When we don't have patience and instead we have resistance to what is, then we put ourselves in a state of agitation. We induce the anxiety. We cue it towards depression because we don't have hope and resilience. We push ourselves into the depths and darkness of not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. The light at the end of the tunnel is knowing that all of this ultimately is a test heading towards our accountability and then our ultimate eternal destination in the akhirah. We have a huge forward-thinking game plan as believers, right? We are the most forward-thinking people that there can be. But instead, we're getting caught up in what's going on right now in front of us and we're not seeing past it. Everything is like an illusion or a mirage. You have to see past it. What's happening in front of you that is disturbing and agitating you, it's just an exam question. And it's a test to see if you're going to answer right or not and do what's right or not and cope in the best way or not. And behind it is, inshallah, your destination in the akhirah through enduring and being strong and patient throughout that circumstance or that test. Does that make sense? Another source of a resilience for you and reminder to help get you through fear, anxiety, information overload, let's go back to the Quran. You know, and what came to mind was Surah Mu'minun, a beautiful surah, which tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is truly successful? You might feel scared, you might be in difficult situations wherever you are in the world or in your life circumstances, and you feel like, I'm never going to be successful. I'm never going to get through this, right? I'm not good enough. I can't. All of this kind of negative self-talk or incapacitated self-talk. Surah Mu'minun tells us who is successful or how. What can we do in order to be of the successful? Beautiful introductory verses to this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Who is successful? Successful are the believers. Even if you are treated as the lowliest of society, you are the slaves in society, right? And it appears that those who are the wrongdoers or oppressors or whatnot are in the leadership, are in the governance or the rulership of the environment around you or the community around you, whatever it might be. Allah doesn't say that they are successful. Doesn't say that you are the loser. He says successful are the believers. God indeed successful. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And who are these believers? Now we have to think, I want to be successful. Okay, I want to be one of these believers. مُؤْمِنُونَ. How do I be one of these believers? We have to be those who are humble in their prayers. So what can you do, sister? You want to boost your iman? You want to work on yourself? Humble yourself in your salah. It's not just establish salah. Do your salah. It's الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who have khushu' in salah, where you are able to slow down enough, quieten down enough, calm down enough to be really humble and connected with Allah in your prayer. And that's not easy. Why again? That darn information overload makes so much noise in your brain that when you pray, your brain's trying to sort to get stuff out of the way so it can be here in the salah. Okay, so remember, reducing that information exposure is going to calm down your system to be able to be more connected. It's really important. I love this third verse. Who are these successful believers? They who avoid nonsense. What does this mean? Who are these people who avoid nonsense? How do you avoid nonsense? I want you to think for yourself. This is the beauty of the Quran and reflecting and reality. How do we avoid nonsense? It's in our social environments, people who talk nonsense, people who share nonsense. Go look at certain people who send you messages and what do they send you? Some of them send you nonsense. They don't send meaningful things. They send nonstop funny videos. Go onto social media. What are we seeing now? Our world bombarded with nonsensical content. Young people watching hours and hours and hours of wrong and bad influenced nonsense. Okay, Muslims, believers, we're trying to claim to be believers and then we spend 1, 2, 3 hours in our feeds or in our chats talking nonsense, not deep, not meaningful, not engaged in learning, not reading, not studying the Quran. So we have to try to avoid as much nonsense as possible. And you, sisters, I, myself, we need to gauge that. Where are my nonsense sources? And I need to start cutting them out. And it's not easy. It's not easy because it's so habitual within us. And you need an accountability partner. You need someone to ask you, how much time did you spend today? You need to install apps to check how much time you're spending on different things on your digital devices. You need to look at where you're just kind of floating around throughout the day and not actually being directive in your use of time. Who else are the believers? They work for charity. What do we do for sadaqah? Are we signed up to some automated sadaqah? Do we help whenever there's a cause, even if it is just forwarding or emailing out a message? What else is this believer, successful believer? Someone who guards their chastity. How do you protect your environment from the opposite gender, from inappropriate interactions with the opposite gender, or from looking at the opposite gender, right? Some people might send you videos or clips or whatever, and it doesn't show very moral or types of images, or, you know, some people even love Islamic series shows and they send each other photos of the actors in it because these characters are Muslim, so now it's okay, you know, and they'll say, oh, this warrior, he's so hot, he's this, he's that, and this is not chaste, right? Whether you're married or not, it's not for us to be like looking and gawking and salivating over such types of imagery. That's not our way. So these people guard their chastity except from their spouses or their dependents, for they are free from blame. Whoever seeks beyond that, whoever goes beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted, these are the transgressors. Again, anyone who sins and goes beyond, these are the transgressors. Those who are faithful to their trusts and pledges, you make a promise, you are part of, you've given a trust, you've been entrusted with something and you're faithful to it. This is a quality of the believer. Those who safeguard their prayers. And look at that, subhanAllah, within these 9 verses, Salah is mentioned twice. So you want to understand how to be steadfast in Ramadan, in lockdown. See, I don't even want to say pretend we're in lockdown. Let's pretend we're in Ramadan. You want to be safeguarding yourself or improving yourself or strengthening yourself or being steadfast in lockdown. Your salah is such an important key. You safeguard it, you do it on time, and you're trying to find ways to humble yourself and be deeply connected. That's a project and an exciting adventure in and of itself. Okay? Start talking to Allah about these worries and stresses that you have. Pour them out to Him. So who are these successful believers? They are the inheritors. What will they inherit? They will inherit paradise, wherein they will dwell forever. You want motivators to be steadfast in lockdown? How much more motivation do we need? Look at these points. If we just can live a life where we check off these points and do these so that we can be the mu'minun, you know, those true believers, and then inherit paradise forever. If we can just tick off these things, be good, devout, righteous, moral believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a good mindset, a good heart set, a good soul set, right? About our religion, about our Lord, and about our difficult circumstances, to teach and train ourselves and discipline ourselves to be okay with our circumstances and accept and say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is from Allah. I accept it wholeheartedly. I submit to what is. I submit to what is that I have no power from myself to change. You know, I can't change this current situation or circumstance. I've got to find a way to navigate it that is aligned with my morals and my principles that I have chosen as a sincere believer or as a family, whatever it might be. And I have to have a good, you know, way of thinking about the outcome of how things will turn out. And I will lean into trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that can really power you through, power you through in life, inshallah. All right, we're going to stop and finish up. I'm going to give you guys some real quick, just practical tips within your house, within your day, that will, inshallah, help you to be steadfast, but also build just habit that's going to lift your mood so that you can be more proactive as a believer, as a mother, as a woman. Get dressed in the morning and make your bed. Get dressed as early as you can, okay? Try not to stay in your pajamas with an unmade bed. It just does something to your energy for the day. Okay. And it might sound like a little simple thing. What do you mean? But my pajamas are so comfy and they're warm. I know. We all love being in our pajamas, but it won't make you feel like you're going to want to be as productive as you could be. Making your bed, even again, it's like if the bed's unmade, it's there calling you to like come back, crawl in here and just snuggle up. It's cold and you're not going anywhere anyway. All these types of things which can start that spiral. Make your bed, get up and get dressed as if you had to go out and do something, even if you don't, and then say, okay, bed's made, I'm tidy, room's tidy, what am I going to do now? Okay. Read and reflect. Lots of reading, sisters. Not reading online, please. Not reading memes and very short snippets and posts. Read books. Go back to tradition. Always has it been, you know, as Muslims, books. You know, the mention of kitab, the mention of qalam, you know, the mention of iqra in the Quran. Allah wants us to read. He wants us connected to writing and books, okay? It's very, very important. And to reflect upon our readings as well. Daily Quran and study. So every day, fill your life with some barakah, that sprinkle of barakah. You know, people say, I have to have my coffee in the morning or I'm in the mood for the day. Do your Quran in the morning and set that mood for the day. Get sunshine as much as you can. Sit outside in the sun. Eat good food, nutritious food, and drink water. Okay, so like your input is very, very important. And that includes the sunshine on your skin being very important as well. Food in moderation. You don't need to eat your fill. You don't need to eat much at all, really. So don't be someone who's inclined towards this whole binge eating thing, and drinking lots of water. So staying active, simple things as going for a walk or, you know, doing some resistance exercises in your home. You don't need a lot of space, but stay active. It's very important for your moods, for your mental health. Limit and filter your sources of influence. As you guys heard, it was a major point in what I mentioned today, connected to fear and anxiety and overall overwhelm. And our spiritual state is our sources of influence, which are our sources of communication and information. Okay. Your influence is your information and your communication. Who are you talking to? What are you talking about? What are they sending you? What are you seeing throughout the day? If you're spending, you know, out of your 3 hours of use on your phone a day, 2.5 of it is watching, you know, videos, you know, from the news, or the opposite of that, conspiracy videos. You're watching too much of it. It's going to impact you. It's not going to call you to your spirituality. It's going to call you to fear, worry, concern, confusion. Okay. So be grounded in, you know, what you expose yourself to when it comes to digital influences. Choose really solid and sound influences. Family and community connect. It's really important. How can you connect? You can make, you know, meals, do something thoughtful, write letters, write poems to each other, have a family chat, have a video chat as a family. Just try to stay connected. Reach out to community members who don't have family, especially do a brainstorming thing. Who doesn't have family, checking in on them? Who is alone, very, very alone right now? Elderly, reverts, single mothers, and just check in on them. And also deep gratitude and optimism. So a lot of what I mentioned today largely was mindset stuff, the mindset of a believer. Be grateful for what is khair in front of you. And even the fact that the hard things that are in front of you, as believers, we also believe that they are khair. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, amazing is the affair of the believer, right? He's tested with hardship, something bad happens to him, and he is grateful and he's patient. When something good happens to the believer, he's also just grateful and accepts and is cheerful. So our state should always be cheerful and optimistic and in a state of acceptance and seeing the wisdom behind it. Everything that happens to you is by the will of Allah. Everything that happens to you is for your own good. Everything that happens to you or around you is according to Allah's wisdom. Everything that happens to you and around you was planned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and decreed by Him 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. SubhanAllah. How and why? What use will it be if we live in resistance to what He has decreed, subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we are questioning and challenging what He has decreed, it's written, fulfill your responsibilities, be patient, and keep moving forward. I would like to open up for question and answers. I hope that this session and things that I've covered have made sense and have connected to each other, and you didn't find it disconnected or anything. I would love to know your takeaways. If you do have a question, feel free to write it or ask it. But yeah, I would love to hear from you guys if you have a little more time and would like to ask any questions, or if there's anything that I didn't cover or that didn't make sense that you'd like clarification on, let me know, inshallah. So how do we get the recording to share? Well, I've recorded it, and I will, maybe I'll upload it onto Instagram and Facebook, and I'll just double check and make sure that the sister who came on camera isn't shown in it. I'm pretty sure it doesn't. When it records, it usually records only the speaker's head and the slides. So yeah, inshallah, I will share it. Otherwise, feel free to send me a message and make sure that I send you the link to once I have shared it if you can't find it. So just find me on any platform. You can also email me, or you can also join my WhatsApp group as well. I have a WhatsApp group. I don't know if Chantel's in it to share the link. But if you guys want to jump on WhatsApp, you're welcome to join us as well. So you can get regular updates on any different sessions and talks that we're doing. And it's interesting, people are still coming in, mashallah, to the talk, even though we've just finished. But yeah, we will hopefully share the recording of this, inshallah. I'm just going to share the link with Chantel, and Chantel can maybe post it in the group here. Yeah, I want to share the WhatsApp link with you guys so that you can join it, inshallah.